welcome to Gay Geek Bizarre Show, episode 26, and it's a Monday, October 31st, 2016. It's Halloween. Happy Halloween, Ray.
Happy Halloween, Maynard.
Yes.
And happy belated Power Bottoms Day.
Yes, that's right. To everyone out there who are Power Bottoms. Wait, is it today or is it a couple of days ago?
I think it was Saturday, I think.
Yeah, okay. It was Saturday. Yes, and we've been... So Ray and I, for the first time for many years, we're not together in one room. Not many years. For years. We've been together in room podcasting. And now we've been... Since Ray moved, we're kind of doing some Skyping right now. So if you guys hear the audio is a little bit weird, it's because, we're doing... remote Skyping, just like the old times, just like the old way we do things.
It's like back in the beginning.
Back from the beginning, we would Skype each other and chat, just recording our Skype conversation. So how are you, Ray? How are you feeling today? How was your vacation this weekend?
Aww. Well, I had a really rough weekend.
Yeah, I know.
My best friend parked my car on a bad street this weekend, and it got broken into while I was in New Orleans.
That's right. And he is a cute best friend, though. He's a nice guy. Yeah, right.
Yes, but his judgment calls on where to park in dangerous neighborhoods is not at best of all.
Let's just say he parks there all the time, and his other friends park there all the time. And probably you've parked there months ago before. But anyway, it was not a good weekend. Maybe because, people from... local people had nothing to do. So what's the damage rate? Just the windshield, right? Oh, the passenger glass. Passenger.
No, there's a whole bunch of damage there. The passenger side window got broken out. There's damage to the door that's got to be fixed. There's damage to the back of the seat where they tried to rip the seats out to get into the trunk. Mm-hmm. There's a whole bunch of damage that's got to be taken care of. So,
yeah. Plus, you lost your prescriptions, your sunglasses.
Plus, and the only thing that I could tell that they took were my prescription sunglasses and a USB and a car charger that fits in your lighter.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so, well. Wow. Was it visible? It must have been visible when they saw it.
No, it was not.
Everything's hidden. Yeah, we tried to.
I don't leave stuff in my car of value at all.
And no,
I don't leave stuff laying out or anything like that. All they did was get there and tear my car up, cause a bunch of damage, and cost me money.
Yeah, there are about three cars, Ray's included. So my theory is, since yours was pried on, they pried using tools. They tried to pry.
Well, they pried on the others. They did the same damage to the other cars.
Oh, they did?
Yes.
I thought the last one was all just smashed because they did not pry the door anymore. They just gave up and just smashed the window.
No.
I didn't see any. Oh, let me see. I can't remember. Maybe they did. But anyway, so you got your window replaced, so that was good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now I got to get all the other damage done.
That's right. Well, let me see. Last weekend was Voodoo Fest also, and every year for the past 14 years that I've been together, Mike and I have been together, I've been going to Voodoo Fest in New Orleans, and the only time I did not enjoy the music, because I may be old. I feel like I'm old, Ray. All the bands, all the groups that were playing that weekend, just people who I don't know. I feel bad.
That's because you're not hipster enough.
And that's what I said. I'm too old. I'm too old. I'm not hipster enough. And the only thing that we kind of watched was The Weeknd. And The Weeknd was okay. It's a solo guy. I asked some of my coworkers. I said, "Oh yeah, The Weeknd. They're pretty famous." What? They're famous? I don't even know anything about them. Anyway, so I guess it's a good time for me to check them out, check all the new music out, and try to be a hipster again.
Yeah,
I didn't get to watch Sunday because we left. I was supposed to fly Monday, but decided to drive with you guys. Mm-hmm. We didn't get to eat sucre. How did your friends like this? Your sucre desserts?
They liked them a lot. So,
mm-hmm.
That was the highlight of the weekend, was going to Sakura.
That's right.
Not going to that hipster fusion Chinese restaurant.
Oh, the Red.
The Red. Is that what it's called? Red?
Red Chinese.
Red Chinese.
Mm-hmm.
So the review that was given by somebody that went with us is that if you're hipster and white, you might like this Asian knockoff. But if you want real Asian food, go to an Asian restaurant, because this was not Asian food.
Mm-hmm. Pretty sad. Pretty sad.
And I knew there was going to be an issue when I walked in and there were no Mexicans in the kitchen cooking the Asian food.
Yeah.
Like it is kinda, here in Houston.
Mm-hmm. It is sad. But anyway, so we drove in. We went back home safe and sound, so which is great, I guess. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We tried to go to the Rocky Horror Picture Show, but I thought tickets were bought. I guess we were just banking that they're going to have tickets on the in the box office, but apparently they're all sold out. Because
it was sold out. So,
mm-hmm.
But maybe we can go here in Houston one night.
Yep. Mm-hmm. We can do that. Anyway, so we have some notes here. So Ray have some.
Okay. For special note, we get stuff that quite interesting stuff that gets posted on the Gay Geek Bizarre Facebook page. And one of the articles was a Vice article that got posted that I was kind of interested in. It's called Inside the Controversial World of Medically Assisted Sex. For people with physical disabilities, issues with sexual function, or a total lack of experience, the path of getting off can be isolating and just plain awkward. However, a group of sex surrogates have pioneered a radical hands-on approach called medically assisted sexuality to help fulfill the intimacy needs of people with handicaps. And I thought it was an incredible, it was a very strong, it's about a 20-minute video, and I highly recommend everybody to go watch it on the Gay Geek Bizarre page, or you can find it on YouTube under the Vice channel. But the interview takes place, and they're interviewing this guy that I think he has MS.
Yeah.
And one of the things that he grew up with, he was like, by the time I got out of high school, I knew I wasn't going to be like everybody else because I hadn't lost my virginity. And I know that that it was very hard for me to find somebody to have sex with because of my condition. Everybody was scared to touch me.
Yeah.
And in the video, they talked to him, and then they talked to it's based in Canada. And sexually assisting someone with the laws in Canada is acceptable. And I thought it was very interesting. And then watching the video of him and a session with the sex worker was quite interesting, because a lot of it was just touch, rubbing, and feeling on each other. And it made me think, it was like, God, how many people are sitting out there and have never been intimately touched or known a caress of another man or another woman because they have disabilities, and people hold that against them, or it's people are too freaked out to try it or anything like that. So, but it's a good article. I advise everybody to go watch it and let us know what you think on the Gay Geek Bizarre page, or you can send us a voicemail or an email here on the show and let us know what you think about the article.
But you know, I do have questions for you about this, because it is intriguing. So if somebody asks you for assistance, I mean, would you be in a profession like this? Would you it could be considered as charity, do you think? That you yourself would probably help out if it's about caressing and stuff like that?
Well, it's not about just caressing. But I mean, in the video, they don't actually show them having sex or anything like that, because they have to keep it like PG-13. Mm-hmm. But just the thought of her, like she was rubbing on him and stuff like that, stuff that most people do when they have sex with other partners, just being intimate with each other.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just like, God, I remember what it was like when I was younger and a teenager or a preteen and wanting somebody to touch me, and how I'd lay in bed at night not able to sleep because I just wanted to have somebody to hold on to in bed, and how it is for somebody with special disabilities wanting those same needs and stuff. So
I would imagine, though, that it is hard for people who are young, who never had anyone in their life, and then this happens to them. If it's like somebody like it happened to you while after marriage, you already maybe have children already, or you're already married, and then you have a disability. At least you have experienced it. But this article is about the story is about people who actually lived with it and grew up with it, and they just grew up with a disability that they do not have any experience at all, and the sex workers would come in and help. But yes. I could understand that, you know, it is moral. It is because you're actually helping out a person in need, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's a good article. So I'd go watch. Get it. Encourage everybody to go watch it and give us some feedback on it.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Okay. So let's go to our gay Ray. This is one of your stories, Ray. Is this your story? Or
yes, this is my story. Once taboo gay characters are taking over young adult fiction. And even at middle age, I read a lot of young adult fiction because it's a lot of sci-fi, a lot of horror, vampire stuff, like stories that come out, Twilight, those kind of stories. So it's all young adult. Harry Potter was young adult. But I'm glad that they're actually starting to be gay characters in young adult fiction, and specifically young adult fiction that revolves around primarily gay characters. So. Queerness has always existed between the lines in novels about teenagers. Authors like Nancy Garden, Jacqueline Woodson, and Francesca Leah Block all highlighted gay undertones in their young heroes and heroines. In 2003, David Leviathan, the author of Nick and Nora's Infinite Playlist, and now the publisher and editorial director of Scholastic, ushered in a golden age of gay young adult fiction. His debut novel, Boy Meets Boy, told the classic boy meets girl love story, but with two boys. The book became a cult classic of both queer teens and adults, inspiring a new generation of young adult authors. It just showed me where there was an openness to the young adult LGBTQ world that was very flexible and cool, says young adult author Jeffrey Self. Novelist Simon Curtis agrees. Leviathan's phenomenal. He's kind of like the gay fairy godfather of young gay adults. Mm-hmm. Throughout the 2000s, publishers released more gay young adult novels, but they remained controversial. A book called Boy Meets Boy was easy to attack since you didn't have to read it to know what it was about. Leviathan says in an email, and many people thought it would be easy to attack gay characters in gay books rather than gay people, thinking that books wouldn't fight back. They began fighting back when MySpace started taking over teens' lives. Yeah, this is early 2000s.
Yeah, very early.
The first sign that readers were on board was the hundreds, if not thousands, of messages that other queer young adult writers and I received, Leviathan says, not just from queer teens, but from queer adults and straight teens. Some were hearing their own voices on the page, and some were hearing queer voices for the first time through the page. Reading can be its own quiet revolution, and we saw that. The market continued responding in favor to gay young adult fiction, while the LGBTQ-friendly sitcom Glee dominated TV in 2010. Leviathan's novel, Will Grayson, co-authored with The Fault of Our Own Stars novelist John Green and the hit New York Times Children's Bestseller list, was a history first for a young adult book with an LGBTQ protagonist. It was an achievement, Leviathan says, but the bigger achievement was that nobody really cared. Jeffrey Self saw the change in publishing. He built his career as a TV host and occasional actor, but Hollywood remained tepid towards gay performers and characters. Instead, he decided to pen a young adult book writing on one spec that revolved around a heterosexual character. His agent sent the book to publishers, but they passed. Leviathan took an interest in the self-writing. Self recalls, my editor David was like, I really want to work with you, but I don't think this is the book, and I want you to write something more gay-centric. He was like, we're looking for more books that are about the gay experience, but not necessarily about the coming out experience. The results was Self's first published young adult novel, Drag Team. It's the story of a gay boy.
Drag Team.
Nice name. It's the story of a gay boy named JT. He hates his hometown in Florida, where his boyfriend Seth plans to attend college out of state. JT decides to escape Florida by traveling to New York and winning the Miss Drag Queen Teen competition. teenagers expected that the book better be fucking diverse. It shouldn't just be straight white kids like how it has been for the past hundreds of years, says Curtis. They are hungry for other stuff. When I asked Leviathan if the new crop of teenagers is different than previous generations in the terms of openness to LGBTQ rights, he says, a million times yes, because it's their lives. It's hard to hate people you already love. They've learned by example in life and in literature.
So after, what's the summary of this whole reading then?
Since 2000, there are more young adult novels that contain gay, bisexual, transgender, and questioning youth in them, and that it's taken off a lot faster than some of the other stuff because younger people are more adapt to change.
Yeah.
So.
And it's actually becoming more mainstream right now, especially when Glee came out. They have the whole show is pretty much gay, and they have gay characters in there. Yeah. Yeah, and there's some.
But there's a book that got released a couple years ago, probably about 5 or 6 years ago, called Hero, which is a young adult novel about a teenager whose father was an ex superhero, and he was gay, but he also wanted to be a superhero like his father. And his whole process of coming out and dealing with this ex superhero father and being gay, which was an incredible book.
Wait, where is that? What's the title? Hero, H-E-R-O.
It's called Hero. And actually, Stan Lee bought the rights to do something with a movie with it, but nothing's happened yet.
Interesting.
But I had the book, and it was incredible. And I'm trying to remember the author's name, and I can't off the top of my head. But the book itself was a great book, and I highly recommend it to any young adults or people that just like to read LGBT novels, related novels. That's all not about... oh, I'm gay, I'm not gay, I'm coming out and stuff. It's more about, hey, I'm gay part of my life, but I'm also got superpowers and I have to deal with that too, and it's this whole other thing. So, I mean, reason that the X-Men have so many gay fans is because gays back in the days when we were kids and teenagers and we could relate to the X-Men because mutants were being treated just like we are.
Yep.
So that's why I related to the X-Men and a lot of the comics like that, because they had different people and society was rejecting them because they were different. So it's falling over into like young adult literature, which is a big field for people and a big moneymaker.
Yeah. Okay. I found your book. It's Hero paperback, library binding, Audible. You can get it too. Published in May 5, 2009. The author is Perry Moore.
Perry Moore, that's right.
So the last thing, just an excerpt from the book, the last thing in the world Tom Creed wants is to add to his father's pain. So he keeps a secrets, like that he has special powers and that he's been asked to join the league, the very organization of superheroes that spurned his dad. But the most painful secret of all is one Tom can barely face himself. He's gay. So yeah, it sounds interesting.
Yeah. It's,
so yeah, probably I'll get a Kindle version.
And we talked about this book back when it came out, because I was at Comic-Con, and I want to say I can't remember if we interviewed Perry.
No, I kind of doubt it. I would remember.
I think we interviewed Perry because he was also one of the ones that was hitting up the C.S. Lewis stories about the Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe that were the movies that were coming out.
Mm. Well, I'll
go back and look, but I think we interviewed him too. But I'll have to go back and look. That was way back then, so.
Yeah, that's a long
time
ago.
Anyway, if you're a young adult, there are a lot more LGBT books out there for you.
Let me see. Right now, it takes so long to just to load the website.
So.
The site. Anyway, okay. So You're talking about the Bear Podcast, when we used to do Bear Podcast.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's go on with the geek. The geek right now is actually about Microsoft. It's I know you Ray are in the Microsoft world again, right? So, yeah.
Yeah.
How are you liking Windows 10?
It's okay.
It's okay. So, is it? Do you feel constrained? Constrained because Not like
email works. I can write Word documents and do an Excel sheet. That's all I care about. And I can surf the internet and watch porn.
Okay.
That's all that matters.
Great, because you can do the same with this newer machine called the Microsoft Surface Studio PC, which costs $3,000. That's too much, though. I don't think I'm going to buy this, but it's interesting because let's read on what else it can do. The article keeps concentrating on its price but it's also a PC. Anyway, this article is on The Verge. So Microsoft's Surface family has officially expanded to include the desktop. The company just announced the Surface Studio at today's event in New York City. It will be available in limited quantities this holiday for $2,999, $3,499, and $4,199, depending on hardware options. Pre-orders begin today, and the Studio will also be showcased in Microsoft's retail store ahead of its release. We totally believe that Surface changes the way you produce, the way you create, the way you learn, said Panos Panay, who leads Microsoft Devices team. The product I'm going to show you is all of that, but it's one step further. It's going to seem familiar, but it's going to feel different. He then unveiled the Studio with an all-in-one form factor touted as having the world's thinnest LCD monitor ever built at 12.5 millimeters. That it's even a touchscreen. That touchscreen display is contained in a forged aluminum enclosure and measures 28 inches across. That's pretty big. So the display outputs 13.5 million pixels, according to Panay, which is 63% more than a 4K television. It's got the best screen in its class. So the Surface supports expanded color output, critical for photographers, videographers, and designers. Microsoft refers to this as true color. The display has a 3:2 aspect ratio with 192 pixels per inch. It's powered by Intel 6th generation processors, and graphics-wise was NVIDIA GTX 980M GPU in the premium model, and a lot more. And that the Studio's hinge allows for the display to adjust to a 20-degree angle orientation. That's convenient for drawing or marking up Word documents, which Ray likes doing. These chrome arms were meant to completely fade into the background. So it's an interesting machine. It's very expensive, though, and I don't think I will buy it. But it is an extension of the Microsoft Surface. Of course, Ray, you've been hearing a lot about the Microsoft Surface, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So many people do. A lot of people that I know have bought the Microsoft Surface, and they're very happy about it. It's a tablet. You can detach. It has a detachable keyboard and everything. So this is pretty much the Microsoft Surface Studio PC. It's pretty much like an extension of that model, where you have a very thin machine, and it can do pretty much anything a PC can do. What your tablet can do, you can probably put in your usual peripherals, your mouse, external hardware, external drives, and it's pretty fast. It's pretty good. I mean, it's kind of geared towards artists and designers and videographers. So photographers, if you do a lot of drawing, and people are happy with the iMac style computers. This is an all-in-one, which is like an iMac, but it's not really. It's an all-in-one, but it's standing. It's pretty cool. However, it's really expensive, though. It's even more expensive than an iMac. How much your iMac? How much was it back then? It would cost about $1,500, I think.
I think so.
Yeah, this one's $3,000. Good God! And it's not even running. It's running Windows 10, but then it's got the good hardware in it. So, anyway, these days you're not in the market to buy a new computer. What kind of computer do you have right now, Rick?
I got a $400 Groupon special.
A Groupon special. It's a desktop, right?
Yeah, because I won't spend a bunch of money for a Windows machine.
Yeah, that's true.
They're not Apple.
Mm-hmm. But anyway, okay. So that's the geek for this show. And let's go to the bizarre, Ray. But the bizarre is actually one of our posts on the Gay Geek Bizarre page on Facebook. Facebook.com/GayGeekBizarre. It's actually a guy bathing in 600 pounds of Nutella. So, of course, in true YouTube fashion. Okay, so the video shows here that he's actually he's just being disgusting, eating Nutella alongside. So he's pouring it all over his bathtub, and oh my God! Just I gotta fast forward a little. It's just disgusting. Anyway, so the video, we'll put the video on the website for you guys to check out because it's kind of disgusting. That he has Nutella all over his body, 600 pounds of Nutella. Ray, would you do this if you had, if you see a bathtub and you were, I don't know, paid to do it, would you do it? You're pretty hairy, Ray, right? So,
yeah.
And
no, because I think this guy's an idiot and there are millions of people in this country starving. And why would you waste this kind of food that could have been given to a food bank for people to eat? And doing some stupid shit like this. That's my personal opinion of it. I think anytime I like watching these cooking shows, like when we were in New Orleans, I was watching the cooking show where they battle for Halloween decorations. Mm-hmm. And I was like, God, how much money do they spend on this show to be able to take pumpkins and all this food and stuff to turn it into artwork that could have been spent feeding people in this country who are hungry?
But, you know, you can say the same way with NASA. They made those special pumpkins, but it's for science, so it's okay, right?
Yeah. But still, that's not really wasting food, because if you give somebody a pumpkin, most people aren't going to go cook them and eat them.
Yeah, that's true.
Special type of cut. Most pumpkins that people make cut up for pumpkins and stuff is not the same type you make pumpkin pie out of.
So, okay, if you have a pumpkin, have you ever tried eating off the meat or the whatever inside a pumpkin?
No.
Never, right?
Well, I made a pumpkin pie before, but you use the smaller pumpkins that are used for that.
There are specific ones for it. But when it comes to the ones that are being used for Halloween, you don't really – it's all decorative then.
Yes.
I see. I don't know. I didn't grow up with this. You guys – you grew up with this, so I don't know. Which reminds me, just downstairs, actually, they there were a couple of kids. They're turtles. They're ninja turtles. Came over get some ice. It's a good thing I brought some. I bought some candy. So I was able to give out some candy this evening. Do you have any visitors, Ray?
No, I cut the lights off and locked the doors. I don't want anybody bothering me.
Oh, so what's the Bah Humbug version of Halloween then?
Get the hell out of my yard, you kid! You're stepping on my grass.
Get off my lawn. Yep. Mm-hmm. Interesting. Anyway, so I guess that's the show, Ray. So I hope you guys enjoyed, and I hope the audio came in okay for you guys, and because we're not using our better microphones for this one, but maybe we'll have better microphones next time. So special thanks to Caesar for the great articles on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/gaygeekbizarre and subscribe and follow us there and like it. If you want to email us, send your emails to show@gaygeekbizarre.com.
Or you can call and leave us a voice message at 281-947-2327. That's 281-947-2327.
Yes. And we played the show. We haven't heard from anyone for some time now. And follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Also, we are on Google Play, iTunes, and Stitcher Radio. And go to the official website at GayGeekBizarre.com. Thank you guys for listening, and we'll catch you guys in the next show. Bye.